We're very particular who we have come and preach, and there are many reasons for that. And if you need to know all those reasons, come and we'll have a cup of coffee and I'll tell you all about it. But we're so excited to have Tom here with us. I prayed quite a while and asked the Lord who to have that's in this vein. And one of the things, I'll tell you a little story about Tom. He will amaze you sometimes. He's from Florida. You have to forgive him. Yeah. But kidding. Whenever he was up in Philadelphia, the last time he was in Philadelphia, we had this little girl come that had a hole in her chest, had a hole down here somewhere, I think. Yeah. I remember seeing the hole. I just don't remember exactly where it was. Yeah, about the size of a quarter. She was born that way, and the doctors were having to treat her, and the family was quite concerned. I don't know. She's just a few months old. And So he prayed for her. We all laid hands on her and we prayed for her. Before she left the building that night, that hole was gone.
Glory.
And I'm remembering a couple things. There was a lot of the miracles that took place. Another little girl was 14 years old, came, was deaf, and she left hearing. And so God uses Tom in signs, wonders, and miracles. And I know he'd be the first one to say it's all the Lord. But we are a church that believes that miracles are for today. And certainly Pastor Tom moves in that vein, in that ministry. And he's traveled all over the place. I'll let him tell you about that. If you followed him, I know I've been encouraging you to look at some of his films on YouTube. He's been quite a few places. Just most recently in Norway, and I'm sure he'll share some of the things that happened there. So I'd like you to give a warm New Life welcome to Pastor Tom Scarella.
Appreciate it. Love you, Tom.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Bless you. Thank you so much. It's our honor to be here and minister to you. And it's good to see our dear friends again. It's been a long time. How many of you love your pastors? Come on, anybody? My name is Tom Scarella. My wife Susie and I are evangelists from Florida, and so we minister all over the world. Just a little bit about ourselves. I started in the ministry, it's kind of crazy for me to say this now, but 29 years ago, and I just turned 29, so praise the Lord for that. So, but 29 years ago, I started to work for a guy in North Carolina by the name of Jim Baker. How many of you ever heard of Jim Baker? And so I started to work for him in 1986, and I worked at his drug and alcohol center. I was a counselor there. I quickly became a youth minister, and from being a youth minister, eventually associate pastor, and then a senior pastor. I pioneered my first church when I was 24 in the state of New Jersey. And just started in the pastoral ministry in 1994. I transitioned to become an evangelist. And so since 94, we've ministered in over 1,200 churches in 48 states and 33 countries. So, yeah, so we've been a few different places. That's a lot of churches, right? 1,200 churches, right? That's a lot of that's a lot of faces to look at. And some not so nice as yours, right? we've ministered in this area, but this is our first time in Rochester. This week we're excited. We've got some people coming from Indy, from Kokomo. We got some others who are coming from Warsaw and Manchester. And so people are coming from different parts. So don't miss it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss this week, all right? And so we're excited. We love to minister and stir the church for revival. And that's what this week is about. Pastor Rick and Terry and I, we all talked about coming. And it's not like I'm looking for a church to minister. We're looking for a place to have just a mind-blowing revival. Come on, somebody. Amen. So that's why we're here this week. And so we're believing God that by the end of the week that God does some amazing things. And like Pastor said, we just came from about 3 weeks ago, I was in Norway. We were there for about a week, ministered all over, some great, great miracles. Holy Spirit was really moving. And then from there, I was in Minneapolis, and I was in Minnesota for about 2 weeks. And then now I'm here. And literally, I get home next Monday. I'll be here Sunday through Wednesday here at New Life. Then Thursday, I go to Richmond. And then I end up on the east side of Indy for 4 days. And then I fly home next Monday in 8 days. And then I turn around on that Thursday and I fly to Johannesburg, South Africa, where I'll be for 15 days in 12 churches. So we'll be ministering all over South Africa. We're excited about that. But God is on the throne. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus is alive. And I'll tell you what, there's a hungry church that's out there. There are hungry churches that are out there. Some people have gone to real seeker-sensitive dead churches, and they're comfortable in their dead churches. But you know what? We're in a day and an age that we need the fire of God. Come on, amen? We need the power and the presence and the fire of God to impact this generation. So I want to do something real quick. And can I just get a couple people to help me? I just need a couple people on this side. Can you help me, bro? Give everyone two. And on this side, if you can do the same. If you run out, I have more on my book table. You'll see. So just give everyone two. On the one side of that is it's our website and an invitation to be our friend on Facebook and check us out on YouTube and all that's on there. On the back side, it's just a prayer card that we give to sick people. The reason I'm giving you two is one for yourself and one that you can give away this week to somebody else to get them to come out. And that'd be great. I remember when we were with Pastor Rick and Terry in Philadelphia, when we ministered there, we went and we did something similar. We did it different back then, but it was like a card, if you remember. And we had so many people by the last night. Now, listen, we had so many people. The church was upstairs. We had to move downstairs. Remember that? We were in the basement and we had to line them up into the hallway. There were so many sick people. Wouldn't that be great to have that here? Come on, somebody. So many people that we got to move them out or onto the lawn or something. Come on. Wouldn't that be great? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Say, let God blow your mind. All right. Secondly, I've got, we don't do this to ask for money or anything like that. We have an ebook that we love to bless people with on revival. So if you put your email on there, please don't write in tongues. We may not have the interpretation. All right. So print as legibly as you can, and we'll send you a free ebook and just let you know. We do some missions trips and we take people on missions trips. How many of you like to go on a missions trip? Anybody? Okay. We love to take people on missions trips. The last one we did was in Jamaica. How many of you love to suffer for Jesus in Jamaica, huh? Woo! Oh, we got good sun that time. No, I'm just kidding. No, we did go to Jamaica, but we went into the inner city of Kingston and we just did some powerful ministry there. And in a matter of 5 days, I think we had about 1,200 salvations. It was really powerful. So, amen. So if you're interested in that, you can put your email on there. When you're done this side, just pass it across. I'm going to do this very quick, and then we'll just kind of transition. I'm going to show you a video clip. We're okay for time, right? Okay. I want to show you a very quick video clip. We minister in all over different parts of America. I live in Florida, but rarely do we minister in Florida. It's just a rarity. But we happen to be ministering up in the Melbourne area in a city called Malabar. And so we were ministering up there, and I just told the people, I said, I really want to challenge you to bring as many sick people as you can. And so on that first service, that evening service, that Sunday night, I called people out prophetically, and I had no idea because I don't know anybody. The pastor doesn't tell me what's going on in your lives or anything. And so I just called a couple people over here, a couple people here, a couple people over here. Well, unbeknownst to me, they were all relatives. Because I don't know who's who, you know. And so here they were all relatives. They were all brothers, sisters, cousins and stuff, the same family. And so they all got healed. And so they were all excited about it. So they went and I told them, I said, now listen, I want you to get people to come from even far away to come and get healed. Well, we were in North Central Florida And so they called their sister who lived down in Naples. Okay, that may not mean anything to you, but that's about a 4.5 hour drive. And so they called this woman, and she had a broken neck. She was a prison guard, and in a prison search, one of the prisoners took one of the bunk beds and flipped it over, and it broke the woman's neck in two places. And so they had her neck mobilized with this neck brace, and she was going to go to surgery. She had been out of work for over a month. She was on painkillers and tranquilizers. And so somebody drove this woman to the service, and so this woman was sitting there, and as I was just talking like this, I'm not preaching now, I just was talking. As I was talking, I look out, and I see this woman sitting there with this neck brace, and she's crying. I just see tears coming down her face. And so I said, "Are you in pain here today?" And it was in a Monday night. And so she said, "I'm in terrible pain." And I said, "Well, do you want to get healed at the beginning of the service or at the end?" And then she just started bawling. She said, "I want to be healed now." And so I just went over and I just laid hands on her. And I said, "Take it off. See what God did." And she said, "You don't understand. I can't take it off if I take it off." And as she's taking off, she goes, "You don't understand. I can't take it off if I do that. I can't even hold my head up." And so she took it off gingerly. And all of a sudden she realized she was healed. Watch this video. She just kept running around the church screaming and hollering for 20 minutes. We couldn't get her to stop. I was trying to preach. I got up to preach and she just, she just make another lap. I just put a dotted yellow line around the church, you know. But that was all. That's why the cameraman can't find her, because she keeps running one way and then she'd run the other way. I'm just going to show this to you very quickly, and then we'll just dive right into the Word here this morning. We do have some books out there and some materials I know that will really bless you. The very first book I ever wrote was actually right after last I was with you guys in Philadelphia. And I wrote a book called A Fire That Could Jump the Ocean. And this whole book is about revival. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, "We need a revival in Indiana." And so what this book is about, it's about the first three revivals of the 1900s and about what God did in 1901. And I called it A Fire That Could Jump the Ocean because many people don't know this. And in 1901, the first people were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Topeka, Kansas. And then it jumped from Topeka and the fire jumped the ocean to Wales in 1904. And then it jumped from Wales in 1904 back to America to a place called Azusa Street in 1906. And so I've got pictures that are in this book that are not in any other historical revival book in the world. And so we've got exclusivity on those. So you can get that. If you get any of our books, I'll gladly sign it for you if you'd like. So I want to bless you guys with that one, all right? And also, we've got some great books. How many of you ever heard of this guy, John G. Lake? You ever heard of John G. Lake? Anyone? John G. Lake was a great man of God that lived about 100 years ago. Incredibly used in miracles, signs, and wonders. He was actually baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1905. And incredible man of God. And God used him in such miracles that he went to the same area where I go in South Africa. And when he went there to South Africa, he was there, I think, for 5 years, and he planted 4,000 churches in 5 years. So much so that his is the largest denomination in the whole country. And but a phenomenal man of God. He came back to America. He went to Topeka, Kansas. And in 5 years in Topeka, Kansas, he had 120,000 documented miracles by doctors. That's only the documented ones. So they're probably about 250,000. The American government said Topeka, Kansas, Topeka. I got Topeka on the brain. Sorry. Spokane, Washington. And Spokane, Washington was the healthiest city in the world because of John G. Lake. And so you can get those. He's got some great books on healing out there. We've also got, this is a brand new series I just did actually at John G. Lake Ministries in Dallas, Texas. I preached this series. It's brand new. It's called How to Hear God's Voice. How many of you want to hear how to hear God's voice? Well, you got to get it. So, all right. And, lastly, we've got some praise and worship out there. How many of you know what I mean when I say soaking music? Anyone know what I mean by that? Okay. I mean, in other words, no words, right? And just music you can listen to and just kind of get along with you and God and just think and just meditate on Him. And so, We've had a dream to put something like this together for years. And a dear friend of ours who's a musician put some of the best musicians in all of America together and flew some in from IHOP in Kansas City and just incredible musicians. And they did this album for us. It's called Devaku. And the word Devaku is a Hebrew word. It means to meditate on God's presence till you have an encounter with God. So who wants this one? I'll just bless someone with this morning. Pastor, give it to somebody wild in the church, all right? Give it to somebody who's wild, all right? So he may throw it at you. Look out. Ah, look at that. Woo! She must play for the Colts. Look at that, huh? Okay, well, if you got your Bibles here this morning, just open them over to the book of Matthew. Just kind of an FYI. Tonight starts at 7 o'clock in each night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so I really want to encourage you in each of these nightly services. Sometimes what happens is some people say, well, I'll come in the morning and then I'll come on Wednesday night. And what they do is they miss all the things that God does during the week. Come on, somebody. Amen. We were ministering down here. I'll just share this before I go ahead and preach. We were ministering in Kokomo. How many of you know where Kokomo is? All right. So we were in Kokomo. That was the first church I'd ever preached at as an evangelist, 1994. And we were ministering in Kokomo in some extended meetings. And on Monday night, angels showed up and everybody saw it. And people were struck dumb and nobody left the building till about 1 a.m. People were just laid on their face. I just had some music on and I was praying for people and everyone saw these light beings walk into the room and everybody was laid on their face. And that was in Kokomo on a Monday night. So look at your neighbor and say, don't miss any of these meetings, all right? Okay. So Matthew chapter 4. Okay. Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see we'll start in verse 18. Verse 18 says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Everyone say, I will make you. So he's going to tell them, and he's going to teach them how to become fishers of men. He's going to show it to us here, right? And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. Notice they didn't have to have two confirmations. And he had never been on TBN. They had never read his newsletter. Come on, somebody. He had never been on Christian radio. They never even heard a sermon from him. He just said, come follow me. Right? And the Bible says they dropped their nets and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. And they were mending their nets. And he called them and said, and immediately they left their boats and their father, and they followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him. Now, underline those words. They brought unto him. You got to see that, this, because I'm going to come back here. Verse 24. They brought unto him. What did they bring unto him? All sick people. And those that were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those that were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now, on that verse 25 there, I want you to see, verse 24, I want you to see that in verse 24. You can go back to number 24. I want you to see this above my head in these words, or in your Bible right in front of you. Because as we talk about revival, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, many people want God to do it. They say, God, send revival to Rochester. Send revival to, whatever, Kokomo or Manchester, whatever city it is, right? And they think that they're just going to sit back and have a Coke and a smile. No, well, I'm going to sit in my lazy boy chair. You go do it. I'm going to have Cheetos and a Coke, and then you go do it all. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Never in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ in 2,000 years. I love church history, and I really love revival history. And so I'm a real student of revival history. But you study every revival begins with it's 100% God and it's 100% man. See, it gets quiet in the Presbyterian church when you say that. But it's 100% God and 100% man at the exact same time. And so Jesus says to the disciples, listen, I'm going to teach you. I want to make you fishers of men. So how is he going to make us fishers of men? Ah, we see the key right here in verse 24. It says right there, his fame went throughout all Rochester. Come on. And they brought into him all the prayer requests. Isn't that what it says? And, oh, I know what it says. And they stood in proxy for everybody else that needed healing at home. Is that what it says? But that's what we do. We bring prayer requests and we stand in proxy and then we don't see people healed. But the Jesus way is what did they do in verse 24? Come on, help me here. They brought the sick. Everyone say, bring the sick. It doesn't say the angels brought the sick. It doesn't say the Spirit of God brought the sick. Who brought the sick right there in that verse? They did. Okay, now watch this. Now go over to Matthew chapter 8. Now watch this. Y'all still love me here, right? Okay, because I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 16, very well-known verse. And when evening had come, verse 16, they brought unto him. They what? That's the second time in the same book they said it. They brought unto him many that were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all that were sick. That it may be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Come on, right? Do you see it right there? They brought unto him. Everyone say, they brought unto him. Right? So there we see the exact same thing all over again. All right? Now, let's see. Go over to... I got a new Bible here. It's like a new house. You can't find anything. You know it's there, right? But let me see here. I think... Da, 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 da. Okay, that's all right. What? Keep going. Go over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. So Matthew says it twice. Let's see what Mark says. So Mark chapter 1. Here's Jesus training his disciples to become... He's training them to become disciples. What does a disciple do? Ah, we see the first thing they did. Verse 32. At evening, when the sun had set, they what? They brought to him what? All that were sick and those that were demon-possessed, and the whole city of Rochester came to the door. Come on, somebody, right? And he healed many that were sick with various diseases, and he cast out the demons, and he didn't allow the demons to speak because they knew him. I'll go over to Luke chapter 4. There's so many verses that it'll just literally spin your head. But look here in Luke chapter 4, in verse 40. So two Gospels say it. Let's see what Luke says. And Matthew says it twice. Let's see what Luke says. Luke 4:40. And when the sun was setting, all that had any that were sick with various diseases, what? Didn't bring their prayer request, didn't write it down. Come on, somebody help me here. They brought the sick to him. Is that true? And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons came out of many that were crying, saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and didn't allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now, without going ahead and reading it, because it's a longer section, but chapter 5 of Luke tells the story of the paralytic. Right? The story of the paralytic. What's the story of the paralytic? Four friends. What? They brought the paralytic friend. Now watch this. They brought the paralytic friend to Jesus. And the Bible says, and the door was shut. If they were an American charismatic, they would have said, see, it wasn't God's timing. Wasn't God's sovereignty, right? Wasn't God's timing. God's timing's for another time and another season, brother. Go on home, and another day when Jesus drags his coat around, then you'll be healed. So what did those four guys do with their friend? Did they say, well, let's just slip in a prayer request, write it on a little scratch piece of paper, and just slip it under the door, and maybe Jesus will say a prayer over it? Come on, talk to me here now. Come on, church. Is that what he did? What did they do? Say out loud what they did. They went on the roof and they didn't open it up. What did they do? They tore it up. They broke the guy's house roof open and lowered their friend down to Jesus. And Jesus said, now, this is pretty excessive here. Couldn't you wait for the second service? Is that what he said? No, the Bible says, and Jesus, are you ready? Here's where I'm going with this. And Jesus saw their faith. So Jesus looked at expectancy to bring someone to him, and Jesus called expectation, he called it faith. Amen. So it's expectation. That's what unlocks the supernatural. That's what unlocks the miraculous. Come on, right? It's not a special gifting that unlocks a miraculous. You understand? So it's not a special gifting that unlocks a miraculous. What unlocks a miraculous is expectation. Come on, look at your neighbor, say expectation. Come on, right? I mean, when you first got saved, you were so expectant. Come on, right? You were expected about everything. You were the first one to church. And the last one to leave. Come on, somebody, right? Is that true? I mean, I remember my friends and I, when I first got saved, we would run in the doors of the church and we would trip each other to try to get to the front row. We would throw our Bibles up there and say, I got it. And so we'd be all excited because we had a front row seat. Come on, somebody. I think I answered every single altar call my pastor made. I think if he would have said, I'd like all the unwed mothers come down to the front, I'd say, that pastor, that's me. I know I'm supposed to be here. Pray for me. Come. How many of you were the same way? You just answered every altar call. Come on, talk to me here this morning, all right? What was that? Expectation. Everyone say expectation. There was such an expectation in the atmosphere. Every word, you hung on every word that the pastor said. Come on, right? I mean, you got blessed reading the maps in the back of your Bible. You're like, Pastor, I'm already healed. I was reading the maps. Come on. Amen. Everyone say it one more time. Say expectation. But see, what happens is a lot of times when somebody's been saved for a while, they lose that expectation. They lose that passion. They lose that fire. They lose that expectation. Now, I didn't grow up in a wonderful spirit-filled church like this. I grew up in western Minnesota in the country, and I was born in St. Paul, but my mother remarried after a divorce, and so we moved to the country. We moved to western Minnesota, and there was no Bible-believing church for 100 miles from us. Not one. Not for 100. We had to go to Fargo, North Dakota to get to a Bible-believing church, and I was a Lutheran, and growing up in a Lutheran home, my parents weren't saved. But God spoke to a guy in Fargo to come to my town to start a Bible study for teens. And he came the summer of 1982 to my city, and he started this Bible study for teenagers. And in a matter of a month, he had a dozen kids saved and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, right? And I began to... I was just really a hellion. I mean, I just persecuted the church. I just persecuted these kids so bad. I used to tear their Bibles up. I used to record devil music over their Christian music. I was just, wow, man, I was wicked, you know? And so the youth pastor said, you're going to pray for the worst sinner in your high school, and in 7 days he'll be saved. They unanimously picked me. They started praying on a Wednesday night, these kids, and every day they prayed. And on that Saturday, 4 days later, I was in Morris, Minnesota. And I was getting in trouble with my friends and, you know, drinking and chasing girls and stuff. And I went, and here I am in this town getting in trouble. And I see one of these guys from the Bible study that I've been persecuting pretty good, actually. And he walked up to me and he stuck his hand out. We were kind of walking across the street. We kind of met each other across the street. And he grabbed me by the hand. And when he grabbed my hand, he went and he said, "Tom," he said, "you're going to hell. Pray this prayer." He didn't know how to evangelize. He just said that. "Tom, you're going to hell. Pray this prayer." That's all I got. And so he began to pray for me right there in the middle of the street, and I got radically saved on August of 1982. Come on, somebody. I was so crazy on fire. I mean, I was preaching in my classes, and they thought that I'd lost my mind. I remember preaching on healing in my history class, and I just, you know, I literally did. The teacher and I got into an argument and stuff, and I went and got my Bible, and I got up and preached. It was crazy. But anyways, I was always in the, I just had my class reunion. They said, "Tom, you spent more time in the office than you did in the classroom." So, but both before and after Christ. But I was so on fire for Jesus. I just wanted to live for Jesus. And my parents weren't really thrilled about it. And so they didn't want me to go to this Bible study anymore. And they said, "No more. Too much. You're having too much religion," they said. I said, "Well, you had no trouble when I was getting into fights and getting drunk and driving off the road and, you know, chasing girls and stuff. You had no trouble with that. But now I'm reading my Bible and you're having problems with that. Something's wrong here, you know?" So they forbade me to go. My friends were talking about this Holy Ghost thing. Speaking in tongues, see? I'd never heard of that in my whole life. I said, "What?" "Yes, we speak in tongues." And so then I heard them in school. I heard them pray in tongues. I'm like, "Well, I got to have it. If you guys got it, I've got to have it." And they go, "Well, we got it. This guy came. He prayed for us. We don't know how we got it." I'm like, "You got it and you don't know how you got it?" "Yeah, we got it. We don't know how we got it." And I'm like, "Well, I got to have this Holy Ghost thing. I got to have this thing." And so that was in September. And my folks wouldn't let me to go to any kind of church event, nothing. September, October, November, December, January, 1983. I begged them to go on a Sunday night to the First Assembly of God in Fargo, North Dakota. And so they let me go to one service. They said, "You can go one time." I'm like, "Oh God, I'm going to get this Holy Ghost thing. Lord, I'm not even waiting for ghost. I'm going to get it at holy. I'll get it before the ghost part, you know?" And so I literally came there and the church was about 2,000 members and I was in the last, I was way in the back of the church and I was there with my friends and I was praying the whole way there. I'm like, "God, I got to get this thing. This is the only chance I got to get it, you know?" So I literally had one foot in front of the other. I'm just waiting for this Holy Ghost, you know? And finally, the preacher goes and says, "All right, if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come on down to the front." I mean, I was down there. And he said, "Well, now you got to go to this upper room where we're going to pray for people." So about 100 of us went up there. I couldn't believe how many of us. So he said, "Okay." The pastor came into the room and I was standing like this. I already had my hands up. I was waiting to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he kind of chuckled and he said, "Okay, the people receiving go on this side of the room. The people that are going to do the praying, you go on the other side." And he said, "Let me give a little instruction." And then he read a scripture. As soon as he read Acts 2, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh." When he said those words, I began to, all of a sudden, this tongues, I started speaking in other tongues. They didn't even come and lay hands on me. So as he's reading the scripture, I'm speaking in tongues at the top of my lungs. It's just flowing out of me as fast as it can. So finally he just stopped reading the scripture. He goes, "All right, just come on over. Everybody go pray for your friends." Now my friends come over to pray for me. I'm like, "I got it now. I don't need you guys now. Where were you guys 3 months ago?" But what got that? You know what it was? Expectation. This is why people go and they see miracles in Africa. Miracles in India. And they come to their pastor and say, "Pastor, why are miracles happening there and not as much here in Indiana?" And the reason is expectation. When you don't have plan B and all you have is faith in God, come on somebody, and there's no other alternative, I'll tell you what, I've seen people come. I've seen people literally drive 1,000 miles to come and be healed. We had a lady, I'll show you the video here as the week goes. We had a lady that came over 1,000 miles dying of cancer. The doctors told her, you'll be dead before you make it to church. You won't even make it to the church. You'll bleed out. You'll be dead. The doctors gave her 72 hours, 3 days to live. And her son drove her. Took 2 days to get to us. And here's his mother dying of cancer. I didn't know it. Had her in the back of the church. They had to bring her in by wheelchair. So she couldn't even hold her head up. The cancer had eaten away all of the strength of her neck. She couldn't even hold her head up. And so they gave her a walker and stuff like that. And so I start calling out people prophetically. I call her down. She comes down to the front. I don't know what's wrong with her. They had to sit her down because she couldn't even stand up in the prayer line. And you'll see it in the video right in front of your own eyes. And I went and I laid hands on this woman. And as soon as I laid hands on this woman, she fell out under the power and the usher turned away. She bit the concrete in the church. Yeah, because the usher had just turned away and he missed her. And here she fell. She's dying of cancer. Fell out like that. And I see this, and this is on global live television. 40 million people are watching this live. And I'm like, oh, God, no, that didn't just happen right here. And as I'm praying into the camera, you see me praying into the camera. I'm like, okay, God, this is one of those times you just got to wing it, you know? And I just start praying into the camera. And as I do, this woman jumps up off of the concrete and takes off running around the church, totally healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Totally healed of cancer. Maybe I'll show that tonight. Here's this woman totally healed of cancer. What was that? Expectation. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to just say, just remember us in prayer? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to just stay 1,000 miles away and say, just, you know, put us on the prayer chain list. Yeah, go ahead, put us on the prayer chain and stuff. Come on. Hello? But the way they did it in the Bible is they what? Brought the sick. Look in Acts chapter 5. Let's see if it continued after the cross. Acts chapter 5. Expectation. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, people talk about how great his ministry was in the miracles. You had to sit for 3 days in his meetings before he'd even pray for you. He wouldn't even pray one time for you unless you sat for 3 days. He'd say, go sit down. You haven't been here 3 days yet. Everyone talks about Charles Finney. Charles Finney and the Great Revival. Charles Finney would not have an altar call for prayer for people to come get saved until there was absolute desperation. One time in pretty close to where you went to Bible school up there, and you went to Elim, right? Up by Elim, up in upstate New York, city called Rome, New York. He was in Rome, New York, and he had one of the greatest revivals ever. I mean, the whole city got saved, basically. But he was in the city of Rome, New York. And he was holding revival meetings. And there was a knock at his door one night at 4 a.m. He opens the door. Here it was, the police. They said, listen, there's a disturbance in town. Nobody can sleep in an entire block. There's a man screaming at the top of his lungs. He feels like he's sliding into hell. Got to come and do something. So Finney went to the house of this guy. This guy had been in all the meetings for a week. And the man was holding on to the bedpost of his bedroom. And he felt like he was sliding into hell. He literally clawed the varnish off of the bedpost. And Finney walked in and looked at him. And here's this man screaming at the top of his lungs, literally waking up the whole neighborhood. And Finney looked at him and said, I think you're just about ready to be saved now. Come on, somebody. And 90% of his converts stayed on fire for Jesus. Come on, somebody. I think that sometimes we make it too cheap. I said, I think sometimes we make it so cheap. All right, I know. Come on down here. Some people say, well, I got work. Well, then, you know, I mean, I'll give you a great example. We were in Modesto, California. We were ministering. And I got there to the church right before the service. And there was a woman there. And she was at my book table. And she was waiting to talk to me. And I was getting something out from underneath my book table. And I said, hey, how are you? And she said, I'm not well. and she, her daughter was right there, and her daughter was holding her up. And I said, what's wrong? She says, I've got terminal cancer. And I said, oh, awesome. I said, we're going to be praying for the sick here in a few minutes. We can see God heal you. And she said, well, I was wondering if you could pray for me now. Now it's like 5 minutes to seven. And I said, well, I said, the service is going to start in 5 minutes. She goes, well, my daughter and I want to go to the mall tonight. You know what I told her? I said, have a good time. And I walked into the church. I didn't even pray for her. Come on, somebody. There's something about expectation. I said, there's something about expectation. This is not a cheap gospel. Come on, somebody. God is gracious and giving and merciful, but this is not a cheap thing. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, that woman that came 1,000 miles, I mean, what did that cost her to get there? Come on. The woman in the video that you saw, here she was. What did it cost her to come all that way, 4.5 hours, one direction? Come on. We were up in Warsaw. How far are we from Warsaw? 45 minutes. We're up in Warsaw about 8 years ago. Any of our friends here from Warsaw already this morning? Oh, no one's here. Okay. All right. We have some friends who are partners of our ministry. They'll be here tonight, I think they said. And they were there in those meetings. They'll tell you, this is honest to God truth. I told the people, bring as many sick people as you can. By Wednesday night, God's honest truth, the doors were, the church was packed to the walls. We had about 900 people there that night. So much so we had 3 ambulances pull up sick people and came with doctors and nurses into the church. We had 3 ambulances parked outside that brought all the sick. And there was a woman there that was encouraged to come by someone in the church that had read that this woman had a blood disease that affected 1 out of, I think it was 20 million Americans. That her own blood was killing her. Her own blood was destroying every organ that she had. She was 32 years old and she was going to be dead in a month. They had already taken out her kidneys. She had no kidneys. She was completely gaunt. She had no color in her. She looked ashen gray. And literally 2 doctors were there with her on a hospital gurney. I kid you not. Tubes running in, tubes running out. She looked like she was having an oil change in church. They bring this woman in. There she is in the church. I preach. And I'm not a long-winded preacher. And I get done. And so I go and I pray for her. As soon as they brought her on down, she could stand but barely hold herself up. The 2 doctors were holding her. And as soon as I laid hands on her, the power of God hit her and she fell out. The doctors went, ah, you killed her. They thought I killed her, you know. I'm like, no, she's not dead. She's all right. Just leave her alone. She laid there. But when I grabbed her and I prayed for her, I said, I command new kidneys to form. And I had no idea that she had her kidneys taken out. Come on, somebody. I had no idea that she had already had her kidneys removed because they were completely destroyed by this disease, this blood disease. I laid hands on her. In 48 hours, she was discharged from the hospital, totally healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everyone say expectation. Come on. Amen. So look in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. It says, verse 11, Acts 5:11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they, what? They brought what? The sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. What were they doing? Bringing sick people and those that were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Come on, somebody. Twice it says bringing sick. Not bringing prayer requests. Hello. Not standing in proxy. I'm going to stand in proxy for my husband. He doesn't want to come. The Colts are playing tonight. No. Come on. No, it's a matter of those who wanted it, they got it. Come on. Now, the one thing that Pastor didn't tell you about that story of that little girl with the hole, let me tell you the beginning of it. On that Sunday night, at the beginning of the revival meetings there in Philly, we started on Sunday and we finished on that Wednesday. On that Sunday night, a man in his church came who had tinnitus in both his ears since Vietnam. You remember that guy? Yeah, he had tinnitus. And he had 10% hearing in one ear, and I forget what the other one was. And I prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. If you remember, blood started to come out of the one ear. As soon as I prayed for him. And he was instantly healed, and he was hugging on me. Italian guy, I forget his name now. But kind of a bigger guy, about 6 foot. And so he was hugging on me and hugging on me. And so he began to tell us then about his grandbaby. And he said, my daughter's backslidden. Anthony, that's it, Anthony, yeah. And so Anthony went and he said to me, he said, Tom, I want to bring my grandbaby. She's got a hole in her chest cavity where this fluid comes out all day long. Right, Pastor? All day long. The mother all day wipes this fluid that comes right out of the chest cavity. They had brought the child to the Mayo Clinic and the doctor said it can't be fixed. We don't know. Do we sew it shut? Do we let it flow out? Literally, almost the size of a quarter, between a nickel and a quarter. And the child was what, two and a half, something like that? Maybe three? Oh, a little younger than two. And so he brings the child, and so he gets the daughter to come. She was a backslider. And so they bring her Wednesday night. It took him all week to get the girl there. Yeah, you remember that? I remember like it was yesterday. That was awesome. And so he brings his daughter and his grandbaby with him, and there they are in the basement of that church, and we have everyone lined up, and I'm a typical sanguine personality. Whew, I forgot. Us sanguine people, we just think about party to party. So I just go from party to party, and I forget, you know. And so I'm not even thinking about, I totally forgot about Anthony. I forgot about the whole thing. So I'm just praying for, I mean, we've got all these people to pray for in the church. So I'm laying hands on all of these people. And as I'm going through all of these people, I come and I see Anthony and I remember the whole thing. And as soon as I was going to lay hands on the child, the Spirit of God said, don't touch the child. The Holy Spirit said to me, say to the mother, take the child home. In the morning, the hole will be gone and the Lord will be magnified. Is that right? Yeah. And that's what I said. Take the child home. In the morning, the hole will be gone and the Lord will be magnified. That, I didn't even pray for the child, right? And so she takes the child home. Looked like nothing happened. But remember, the 10 lepers were healed as they went. Remember that? Brings the child home. And the next morning, like every morning for almost 2 years, she had cleaned this gunk up off of the child's chest. And she flips the child over and the hole is gone. Come on, somebody. Amen. Skin over that. Absolutely no scar, nothing. Come on. Amen. I mean, I could tell you of one after another. I'm going to show you a video maybe tomorrow night or tonight. I don't know, depending on time. I'm going to show you of another little girl. We were just a year ago in Orlando. And as we were in Orlando, this woman came and she was really stirred up by the meetings. And so she said to me at the end of the meeting, she said, Tom, she said, I have a daughter that has scoliosis. Do you think that she'll be healed? I said, no, I don't think. I'm not a thinker. I'm a believer. The Bible doesn't say these signs will follow those who think. It says these signs will follow them that believe. So I'm a believer. Everyone say, I'm a believer. Okay. So I said, I don't think, I believe it. Come on. So I said, bring the child. She'll be healed. So she brings the child. Same thing. I just, being honest with you, I just totally forgot the whole thing. And so she brings the child the next day. And she brings the child to the meeting. And there was about 400 people in this church. It was a larger church than this, but it was about 200 or some, 250 in the church, 300. But we had about 100 visitors, over 100 visitors. And so, I mean, it was so packed. We were like, oh, my God. And these ushers were not equipped to catch. They were really poor. And so I just thought, okay, God, help me. How am I going to do this? And so I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to line them up along the walls. I don't care if people fall down. There's nothing holy about falling down. I just want to see people healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you want falling down, then go to another evangelist. All right. So you may get falling down, but I if you fall down, get healed. Come on. Some people are like, whoo, I fell out under the power. But did you get healed? No. Well, then you just got fallen down. So anyways, so I went and lined up all the people all the way around the church. And I had to go. I had to fly out. I had to get out of town. I forget. I had to go somewhere and minister. And this is a year ago. So this girl, you'll see it in the video. The girl's spine, she testifies. She's 9 years old. She, her spine went like this. It went down and it shot out like this. To the point that the little girl could not even carry a backpack to school. 9 years old. And she was on painkillers every day because of the pain was so bad. And the doctor said, if she tries to carry anything, it will break her back in half and she'll be in a wheelchair the rest of her life. So the mother brings the child the next day. The child comes. They stand in the line. I forgot all about it. I come. I see the girl and I see the mother behind the girl. Now, the mother is holding her hand on the child like this. Now, the mother never told me this, that she had a cyst the size of like 2-3 quarters, about that big, that was on her hand that was going to actually possibly paralyze her hand. But she was holding her daughter up like this. And when I laid hands on the daughter, we were having microphone problems all night. And as soon as I touched the daughter, I heard snap, pop, pop, pop. I thought it was the microphone like this. It wasn't the microphone. It was the girl's spine began to straighten out like that. Come on, somebody. And the girl was instantaneously healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. And I never even prayed for the mother, but the mother holding the child up, as the mother was holding the child up, the cyst dissolved and is completely gone. You'll see it in the video as well. Come on, somebody. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Everyone shout expectation. Hallelujah. Why do you think I gave you two of those cards? So one that you can give one away. So you can give one away with expectation. Come with me this week. God's going to meet you. God's going to touch you. God's going to meet you in that place. Come on, somebody. Amen. God's going to meet you. And if you have a heart of expectation, I'm telling you what, the Lord will meet you. Will you help me on the keyboard, brother? That'd be great. God's going to meet you. And so that's all I ask, is that you get people's hopes up. Come on. Prophesy to your neighbor. Say, get someone's hopes up this week. Wouldn't it be great if we saw 10 families born again and join this church as a result of this week's meetings? Come on, somebody. How many of you would agree with us? Come on, amen? Wouldn't it be awesome? Come on, hallelujah. Just one after another after another. I mean, I could tell you so many hundreds of testimonies and not even tell the same one of where just God's grace, God's goodness. Amen? It's not man's effort. It's God's goodness. It's the cross. It's the message of the cross. It's all paid for. Hallelujah. Everyone say it's paid for. Amen. Just give me some strings. Just some strings, brother. Don't play anything that anyone knows. All right. Hallelujah. The people start singing and then. So praise God. Hallelujah. So Father, today in the name of Jesus, I pray for people that are here this morning. Lord, I pray that there'd be just a spirit of expectation. But I pray that you'd do something so fresh, so new, that people would begin to come and people begin to hear about the glory of God, that God is just pouring out and doing something fresh and doing something new and doing something so awesome in this house. Let people begin to come all the way from Chicago. Let people begin to come all the way from Indy and even beyond, Lord. People begin to move all over America, start to draw people to a saving knowledge of Jesus because of the dinner bell of healing has been rung. F.F. Bosworth said, healing is the dinner bell to the lost. So, Lord, that's what we ask for right now, Lord, that you begin to draw people from one end of the world to the other. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never been born again. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. And this morning you feel God tugging your heart and you say, Tom, you know what? I just need to give my life to Christ. I need to be born again or rededicate my life. If that's you, I want you to quickly raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, but I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, anyone this morning, you want to rededicate your life or give your life to Christ for the first time, this morning. This is your opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. If you want to be included in this prayer, just stand up right where you are, all right? Just stand up. If you want to give your life to Christ, if that's you, okay? Otherwise, let's do this. Everyone look up at me a second. Remember I shared with you about how I was baptized in the Holy Spirit? In December, I was praying. And I was praying, Lord, what do you want to do in 2015? And the Holy Spirit said this so clearly to me. He said, I want you in every church you go to. I want you to start off the first service with getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you're here this morning and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues, all right, you're in a safe place. But if that's you, quickly raise your hand. Anyone this morning you've never received, just leave your hand up. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? You've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues. Okay. Anyone else? Quickly. All right. If you raise your hand, just come on up. Quickly come on up here right now. Just come on up here right now. All right. Come on up. Come on. Give them a big hand as they come, will you? Yeah, just stand here. Come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else, you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just feel in my spirit there's at least 2-3 other people. God's tugging your heart. You're supposed to be up here and included in this. You've never received the filling of the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues. Quickly, just raise your hand if that's you too. Quickly come. Don't miss it, all right? Yeah, come on up, all right? Someone else, come on up, brother. Come on, give those a hand as well. Come on, all right? Anyone else you want to receive? Yeah, come on up. All right, yeah. I don't care if you've been prayed for 1,000 times, okay? I don't care if you've been prayed for 1,000 times, all right? Anyone else you want to receive? Since January, we've seen over 1,000 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Over 1,000, about almost 1,500 now baptized in the Holy Spirit all over the world. And so praise God. Before I go ahead and pray for these guys, what's going on, my brother? What's wrong? Yep. Okay. And what's going on with your legs? Really? Yeah. What's wrong with your leg, though, that you walk with the cane? Is it? Yeah. Disoriented? You're walking. Yeah. Does this hurt? Does your shoulder hurt? Does it? Yeah. Does it hurt this morning a little bit or not really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Let me do this. Let me pray for him, all right? I'm going to pray for him. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray for these people for the Holy Ghost. Just give me a minute, all right? So right now, I saw him sitting back there, and so I knew God was already touching him. So I command that shoulder be healed. Everything that's been damaged right now, I command it to be healed right now by God's grace. Command it, create a miracle right through your body right now. Everything that's been damaged, equilibrium, all of that stuff right now. All pain, weakness in his shoulder and in his back, I command it to leave him now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for touching him right now. All pain, weakness, go. Let his life testify it. And now, let's do this. Come on, just walk with me. Can you take that off? Take that. Let's just see what God's doing.
Glory.
That's all right. No rush. We got all day. And now, do like that. Yeah. All pain.
Okay. Okay. Just put it down. You can put it down. Yeah. Shoulder, be released.
Shoulder, be released in the name of Jesus. Shoulder. Yeah. So thank you, Father, right now for that. That thing, be relaxed, be healed. Just in Jesus' name. All pain go. In Jesus' name. All pain go. All swelling go. But let's walk. Let's just see what's going on. Come on. Let's just see. Just move your shoulders a little bit. Come on. Hey, come on. Keep going. Go all the way around. Come on, somebody. Hold that up. You're a man of God. Just walk all the way around the church. Go. Go. Come on. Come on back. Come on. Someone help him. Help him. Help him. Help him. Keep lifting it up. Keep lifting it up. Pain go. Pain go. Pain go. Weakness go. Weakness go. Weakness go. Thank you, Lord. Come on back up. Hey, he looks like he's going to run a marathon now. Come on, right? And now?
No pain?
Is it a little better, a lot better, what?
It's a lot better.
Is it a lot better? Okay, if you could tell when he walked up, I should have said something to you. You could see this shoulder was drooping way down. Do you see it already starting to come up? Anyone see that? Yeah, that's great. Amen. Come on. All right. Now, let me see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15. All right, so 15 people. Let me just ask, just for me. How many of you have honestly never led someone to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just be honest. Anyone? You've never prayed for someone to receive. Okay. All right. If your hand went up, stand up. Come on up. Today's your day. All right. Come on. You've just been drafted. Hallelujah. Come up here to the front, though. All right. Come way up here. You're not a receiver. You're a prayer. Come on. All right. No. Not back there. Up here. Go all the way down. Nope. All the way down. The blue line. Stay on the blue line. All right. Don't pray till I tell you. Pastor Rick, I need at least two more people. Can you help me draft two more people? Yeah. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah, that's enough. There we go. I think that's good. All right. Now, I want you to watch this because this is the way that I'll do it. And you can do this from this day forward as well. You can do it anywhere, anytime. Okay, all you that are going to receive, every language is made up of sounds and syllables, right? English is made up of sounds and syllables. How do you speak in English? Can you speak in English like this? You have to do what? You have to open your mouth and speak, right? So Spanish is made up of? So French is made up of? And Italian is made of? Okay, so you have to open your mouth, right? You have to speak for words to come out. Is that true? Okay, so here's what's going to happen. These people are going to lay hands on you. And as soon as they do, they're going to pray that God fills you with the Spirit. Now, God knows all languages. Can we agree with that? Yes. He doesn't need an interpretation. He knows English. How many of you think he knows English? Do you think God knows French too? Yeah. Right. He knows every language, right? So he doesn't need an interpretation. But this is not a language from your brain. This is a language from your spirit. So it's going to bypass your mind. It's not a mind thing where, what am I saying? You won't know what you're saying. Because it's not a mind thing. It's a spirit thing. It's your spirit man. That's going to talk to God in a supernatural prayer that's going to bypass this. Come on, somebody. Amen? So I want all of you on this side. I want you to close your eyes, raise your hands. Just keep your hands up, all right? Just as an act of surrender. I want you to pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Today, I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As soon as they lay hands on me, I'll be filled with your Spirit, and I'm going to speak in other tongues, a supernatural language between me and you, Jesus. And you'll understand it, and I'll be refreshed and renewed. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your hands up. All right, all you guys on this side, come lay hands on them and just begin to speak in your heavenly language. Come on, Father, fill them right now. Fill them right now. Do we have any other catchers behind them? I just need a couple of catchers, guys. Yeah. Karamaspa. Come on, out loud. Don't mumble in tongues. Speak in tongues. Come on. Come on, give some volume. Parabospava tikesapa. That's it. Be filled. Be filled. I command you, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I was just going to pray with her. Yeah, you can go ahead. Go for it. Father Manasa Keba. That's it. Fill. Command you be filled. Let it flow. God's already filling you. Karabaspita. Sabariya Tokolova. Zobriya Sabada. There it is. Be filled. That's it. Let that river flow. Speak out. Open your mouth. Speak those sounds out. Karabespolo. Sobriya Tokolova. You can't keep your mouth shut and speak. You have to open your mouth. Sabariya Tokolova. Come on, congregation, stretch your hands to your friends up here. God's filling them. Come on, stretch your hands right now. Father, fill them. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, just two more minutes. Come on, press in. Now let's give volume to it. Come on, press in. A little louder. Come on, let it go louder. Lord, you know what we're saying? There it is. Let your spirit man go. Karabaspova, Kamzabita, Kanzabaro, Halamayata Kawalados, Sukotikila Yatakala, Jidiata Kisikeleke Tukala Kaharadasa, Come on, just one more minute. Everything you got. Come on. Come on, pray in your heavenly language. Father, fill them. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them. Father, we want more, 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 more. Ziate selabo, volamaka, rabaspite, pole babos potu kolovoros, zom devise sika teka laka ramos bolov, veremiataka, let that river flow, let that river flow, speak out in your heavenly language, ziavolomba, rabos bolov, ramas pepe fedika, lambia bobo fatoka saka, takalama, let it flow, sweetie. God's touching you, God's filling you right there, karimes povolores, zom devise sika tika sakalaharas, now congregation, all of you, you pray in the Holy Ghost with them. Just stand up though. Stand up. Everyone stand up. Grab hands with the person next to you. Now pray 1 minute in tongues for them. Come on, pray for your friend right now for one minute in tongues. Everything you got. Come on, press in. Come on, prayers. Kind of guide them. You have to guide them. Guide them. Come on, just be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Command you be filled. Command you be filled. Command you be filled. Command you be filled. Zumdivika. Samdova. There it is. God's filling you. 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 All fear is going. Zumdivika sika takalaba. Bamzabidia takalabose. Come on, pray in tongues for your friend right now for 30 seconds. They may need something. Come on, they may need you to pray right now. You don't know what's going on. Come on, pray like you want them to pray for you right now. God, fill them. Come on, 30 seconds, all you got. Hallelujah. God, fill people tonight. Encouragement. Strength, boldness, fire, expectation. God, we thank you for it here today in the name of Jesus. Ooh, there it is. Yield. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, one last time. Give the Lord a great big hand clap this morning. 15 people. Come on. Woohoo! God, you're good. Amen. Listen, tonight, 7 o'clock, bring someone that's sick, bring someone that's dying, bring some dead people. Who knows? I don't know. Hey, they can't get worse. So,